So if you will, with your permission, make yourself comfortable more where you are, sitting in your living room or bedroom or kitchen or patio, with your family, and gently close your eyes and simply relax. Take a nourishing, deep, conscious breath. A few of them if you need, preparing yourself, your energy, your body, your consciousness to be aligned more with this moment, with this presence. Take another deep breath and bring your awareness to the center of your being, to your heart. Expand from your heart that beautiful energy of love, of compassion and healing to every cell of your body, to every energetic cell of your energy field, of your multidimensional energy field, your Merkaba. Allowing yourself, feeling into it, becoming more of that energy, that true you, that true magnificent you. Breathe and allow the breath to connect you more, to be more and more present in this space right now that you are creating for yourself as a strong foundation to absorb, to immerse yourself, to learn, to feel, to know, and to love even more yourself, and to allow yourself to feel more the love that Spirit has for you, that Gaia that is beneath you has for you, the connection between you, Spirit, and Gaia together right now. Let that fill your entire bubble of energy. Breathe. Expand it even more. Let the energy carry you exactly where you are to be. Don't hold back. Let it fill every place that it needs to go. Every place it wants to go. Feeling the sacredness, the honoring, the divinity and the light from Source. And connecting more and more deeply with your soul. And also with everyone else that is connecting right now in this virtual space. Several hundreds of you are connecting right now in one heart, in one beat, in oneness. And let us open this morning once again our heart, our energy, and our love for the teachings of the day from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. Again, we tell you things that you need to hear all the time. You really do. That God is not in a vacuum. That which you call the term God, not in a vacuum. That is what we call the creative source of all things. Imagine that there is a source of creation that is not necessarily impartial to you. A source that includes the human being as part of the active love and compassion that has gone on and in to the creation of all things. Imagine a creative source that knows who you are. And there would be those who would sit and look at the grandeur of the universe and say, how is that possible? That the creator of the universe would know who I am. And the answer to that is the system has you as part of that creative source. You have a soul. And humanity sees this soul very interesting. Humanity almost collectively, almost the entire planet, talks about the soul. That nautical term. Forever. How many souls on board, they say. The soul is that vehicle that seems to be apart from the human. And then when the human dies, the soul, well, it keeps going, you know. And that's because so many intuitive thoughts know that every single human has something a bit bigger than that body. So big is it? It never dies. That is the consensus, dear ones, of almost every religion on the planet, every belief system on the planet. A monotheistic planet, think about it, who acknowledges that which is God and loves God, who knows that a soul exists forever, continues even after you die. And yet, there's not really an examination of what is in the soul. I want to tell you something that is in the soul that you might not have thought of. You think of the soul completely as you, divine, your higher self, all of those things that may or may not be there depending upon your belief system. But there's one thing I want to tell you you never thought that is truly part of your soul. There is a partnership on this planet that we're going to talk about today. And that partnership is what I have talked about so many times. So profound it is. So necessary it is. And yet you don't really, really know about it. When I say you don't know about it, I talk to that, which I would call the listenership of this program, of those who would listen later, perhaps of the Western world. You think of planet Earth as the dirt you walk on. And some of you don't think much more than that. That just is. You look at the weather and it just happens. It's something to enjoy or stay out of the way of. There's so much more. This missing partner, that I say, is Gaia. It is not the planet. It is Gaia. Gaia is the name that we will use for Mother Nature. Now, you know what that is. Does Mother Nature have an attitude? Does Mother Nature have a personality? And to almost all of those who deal with the planet, they will say, absolutely, certainly, Mother Nature does. Is it possible that this Gaia, this Mother Nature, might actually be an active part of your divinity? Is it possible that Mother Nature is represented somehow in the soul of the human being? And then I will tell you yes, and it's most exemplified in the grid system, which we'll talk about and which we have in the past. But let me give you something that most of you don't even think about. When you were small and you started learning about the planet, and you learned in school that the trees, well now, they breathe what you exhale. And you breathe what they exhale. It's amazing, isn't it? Did you ever look at this and go, what a coincidence that there is something going on where the actual trees of the planet and the forests and the lichen and the moss and all of that actually thrive on what you exhale with every breath. And when you look at what you need and what they need, it's exactly matched. What a coincidence. Or did you just take it in and memorize it and say, that's how it works? Imagine, the human being needs water. You can't exist without water. You are made up a lot of water. Now, you can't drink the water from the ocean. You know that. It's way too salty. But what a situation has happened. Look, fresh water falls from the sky. Not only does it simply fall on you, it fills up streams and rivers of drinkable water. What a coincidence, you might say. Goes on and on, doesn't it? Where do you get your food? Whether you believe or not in eating the animals doesn't make difference, because in the past they did, and they grew their food. Almost all completely supplyable from that which is Mother Nature. What a coincidence, you might say. The nature and the human being are so allied with one another that it feeds you, gives you water, gives you sustenance, gives you air. And it simply becomes facts, doesn't it? Well, that's nice. Then you could even go further. Renewing resources. You figured out you could build your homes by using the trees. And if you were careful doing it, they'll grow back. And within a couple of decades, your children build their homes with the same forest. Imagine that you have the building materials that will come back, and they will come back, and they'll come back. Did you ever think that may not be a coincidence? What if everything was placed there carefully for you? Did you think of that? There are many who believe that human nature has caused a situation where literally there's a battle between the earth and humans, and they don't belong together. So let's go to the indigenous and let's ask them what happened. And they'll be the first to tell you that they felt this planet as a personality, that they were able to harmonize and balance with the planet to provide them with resources that sustained them in the same place for hundreds of years. And in places where they had to move on, they would move to places that would then sustain them, sometimes for thousands of years. That they saw the planet as a partner of existence. Today you're going to hear one of my statements that I've given before, contrary to what you think. The indigenous did not pray for rain. When they did a rain dance, they did not then work around so that some deity in the sky would give them rain. That is not how it works. That's how it looks to you, because that's what you do. What they were doing was establishing a balance, a harmony with the area, with nature, with the skies. They quickly realized that by watching the stars, they could tell the seasons. Everything that the indigenous saw and did enhanced the idea that the earth was alive and living, had a personality, and was their partner. And they were right. Subsequently to all of that, dear ones, you've grown up in a society that's modern. It's interesting. Now, if you ask a child sometimes where food comes from, well, it comes in a box, it comes in a bag, it comes from mom at the store. Not even truly aware of the symbiotic relationship that truly exists between the earth and the human being. Now, I told you that there's a relationship to the human soul in there, and there is. Oh, it's a big one. Did you know that your Akash, your record of lifetimes, is also carried in the planet? Does that tell you how much an alliance there might be? Did you know that there are actual animals that carry part of it? We have told you this before. What does that tell you about the planet? Did you know that there are grid systems on this planet that actually remember human emotion? You think that's too esoteric? Let me ask you this question that I've asked over and over. Sensitives that are listening to this program right now, you're going to like this part. You walk into a place that seems to be just a dirt field. Unknowingly, on that dirt field, perhaps there was a battle. It's just an ancient one that is not marked, and suddenly it grips your heart. You feel that, which is the sadness, the horror of death, all that went on there. And some of you react. Let me ask, where does that come from? And you might say, well, there was a battle here. I didn't ask that. What is the mechanic? What is the process that would tell you in your sensitivity that something happened there hundreds of years ago? And the answer is the crystalline grid of the earth. This partner, this missing partner, talks to you. There are things in this planet that want to be said to humanity, to human beings, that actually is wisdom beyond anything that you know. Now the big one. The indigenous of the planet have an idea. And the idea is this. It's something you've heard before. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Here's what they believe, that the dirt of the earth contains the wisdom of their ancestors. That means when you pick up a piece of dirt and you take a look at it, perhaps you put it on your lips, you are in communication with all of the ancestors and the wisdom that they ever had, because the earth is a partner with your soul. How about that? The saddest thing that has happened in your modern societies is not that you have forgotten this, but you've been trained out of it. Would you like to list for me the number of modern belief systems that you have in your Western world that include the planet as part of your soul? And the answer is almost none. They've thrown it away, dear ones, because they didn't understand it. They didn't feel it. Or other things seemed to be more important in the doctrines of punishment. You throw it away. This planet will do far, far better if it starts to return to the idea that maybe there's a partnership that'll work both ways, that there are things to be learned, so many things to be learned from the planet. And that is not just looking at nature and observing how beautiful it is or what takes place. But any tree hugger will tell you. You go into the forest and you sit, you're back to this monstrous, beautiful, amazing tree, monstrous in size, not in attitude. And you start to feel it talking to you. And it says, dear ones, I've been here for hundreds of years. And here's what I want to tell you. You are loved by this planet. Thank you for sitting with me today. That's a partner. Ask any tree hugger. That's why they do it. Because there's communication, dear ones. It's a good message, isn't it? Something to think about. It's a message that I brought for 31 years. And so it is.